Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor.
Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I am Dan, and joining me here very shortly will be Alex from his studio in the great state of Michigan. And here he is.
Hello.
Had to jump away for just a second, but he is back. And you can join us as well. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. We are not streaming on Facebook tonight because the producer is actually not in the studio tonight. He's at work. So he's at his other job. The one that pays him, which is why we're late tonight. Because I was at my other job, the job that pays him. But yeah, anyway, you can call us 718-664-9735. Hit us up on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show and Wikicuriosity Media. While you're there, of course, like, share, follow. Also, head on over to the website. Links are on the Facebook pages, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. Also hit us up on YouTube at Wikicuriosity Media. All of our archived shows are on blogtalkradio.com/Wikicuriosity Media. Also on iTunes at Wikicuriosity Media. I think I covered everything.
I believe so, yes.
All righty. Awesome. Let's get to tonight's show. So we did not have a show last week, unfortunately,
yep.
Because I had to work and, you know, my manager screwed up my schedule. But that's all right. I got it fixed. Anything interesting happened this week?
Sort of. We got new doors here at my house. We kind of redid our house over the summer and our doors finally came in. So yesterday, all day yesterday, I was in my mother's room with my dogs. Because my dogs are little scaredy cats. They hate power tools. So I was in there all day with them. And then today they were finishing up doing interior trim stuff, and they were using, I've never seen this before actually, never even thought of it, but an electric nail gun.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a noise and then it smacks the thing. My dogs hated it, so all day today I had a 60-pound bulldog just standing on my thighs, leaning up against me, and at the same time my other bulldog was being kind of a big bitch. Because she hates power tools, absolutely hates them. Like, you could run one, and she'll come over and, like, try to bite it, and she'll bark at you and guard hair stand up. She hates them. But anyway, she was trying to do that. So he was pinning me down while I was pinning her down, and it wasn't even intentional. I couldn't move. Like, he was leaning up against me, and I just kind of fell back. So I was covered in bulldogs all day today.
There's worse things to be covered in. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And your bulldogs are kind of cute.
They're very adorable.
They are.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, not too much is going on here personally to me. Yeah, I think it's about it. Thanksgiving is next week. We'll be spending that with, or not next week, right? It's next week?
It is next week, yes.
Okay, so yeah, Thanksgiving's next week. I'll probably be spending it up here with my mother and grandparents and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Cool. Yep, we are. So, Wiki Curiosity Media is on hiatus all next week, starting, you know, tonight, obviously. No, we do have a show Friday. But starting Saturday, we'll be on hiatus for a week, as we will not be broadcasting during that week because we want all of our family members to be with their family, all of our, you know, hosts and all that to be with their family. And we want to spend time with our family. So we will not have any shows next week. But we did get some spectacular things last week that dropped.
I'll let you finish, and then I'll ask my question.
Okay. So last Friday, November 12th, was Disney Plus Day. It is the second anniversary of Disney Plus, and they dropped just a shit ton of content that is coming out over the rest of this year and next year.
I just realized Disney Plus is 3 years old now. It came out in 2019. Well, yeah, 2 years.
Yeah.
Because it started in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2020, and now 2021. I completely didn't realize that. I thought it came out in 2020, and then I realized Mandalorian's about to be on season 3.
Yep, because Mandalorian was one of the first series to drop on Disney Plus when it started.
It still feels so fresh and new. Like, and streaming services like Netflix and Hulu have been around for so long. They're like old. I kind of think of those as cable TV now. Like, they're kind of getting obsolete for me. But, damn, really?
Yeah. Disney Plus is getting up there. Yeah, and I will say I was one of the first to get Disney Plus as a streaming service, and for the first 2 days, I could not watch a single thing because their servers were so overloaded for the first 2 days.
Oh, yeah, they had the biggest launch out of any streaming platform, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
For, like, their first day stuff. I know that's not really, like, competition and stuff, but Netflix had a pretty sizable numbers, and then Disney Plus came on, and I think Disney Plus matched Netflix's numbers almost on their release.
So Netflix's release was, it's been years since Netflix released their streaming platform, and they were the first streaming platform, if I remember correctly. And, I mean, they were really popular, but streaming wasn't really popular then.
Yeah, so Disney Plus has 118 million users subscribed to their thing, and Netflix has 214. If we're counting active users, I would definitely say Disney Plus is way more, just because of the fact that people have Netflix accounts that they don't watch or use. They just have it just in case.
So I will admit I don't use my Netflix account as much as I used to. Not saying that the content on there is not good.
Netflix doesn't have good original content at all. They have good content on there, but their original stuff is terrible. Besides, like, Stranger Things. Stranger Things is pretty good. There's another series on there that's pretty good. But their originals is the worst out of any streaming platform, in my opinion. Might be a hot take, but...
I would actually have to kind of disagree with you. Simply because Hulu doesn't do a whole lot of original content. You don't hear a lot about it.
Yeah, out of, like, the big players, though, like the Disney Plus, Netflix, HBO, and Paramount, I think Netflix has the worst originals. Now, again, I haven't watched Paramount stuff yet, so I can't really judge it, but Paramount's about to have a Halo streaming service or stream TV show.
Yeah, and that was one thing I was actually going to get to.
But
I was actually going to get to that tonight, too.
Yeah.
But so for me, I kind of like Netflix's original series, mainly because they tend to focus on like the darker side of things. You have the like the Haunting of Bly Manor, Lock and Key, Midnight Mass, and even like Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Riverdale. All of these are darker.
Riverdale's a CW
horror.
Show.
I thought they picked it up for...
Nah. They might have bought it out, but I think it originally started on CW.
Okay. Which is... Okay. I just really got confused on some things.
Yeah. See what I mean? Netflix has good content on there, but their original stuff...
Well... No, because, okay, so CW is a Warner Brothers
Outlasting
property.
Contract. Yeah, it's an outlasting contract. I think it's going to be up because all of, like, the CW shows, like The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, DC Legends, those were all on Netflix. Like, they would stream them weekly on the CW, and then at the end of the season, like a week later, they would... like the whole season would be released to Netflix.
Right.
But that contract ended, and I think there are all those shows, all the DC property shows are on HBO Max. I think the only stuff HBO has is the DC licensed stuff, but all the Warner Bros. Stuff is still contracted out to like Netflix and stuff.
Okay. Because I was curious. So, because it confused me there for a minute, because Supernatural is a CW show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still on Netflix. But yet, Warner Brothers, I think Warner Brothers actually owns HBO, or is it HBO that owns Warner Brothers?
I think Warner Bros. Owns HBO.
Okay. Well, maybe when their contract is up with Netflix, they'll switch all of their shows over to HBO Max.
Yeah, so the okay, never mind. So yeah, but Warner Bros. Owns HBO, CNN, Cartoon Network, TBS, TNT.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. All the Turner shows. All the Turner Broadcasting Companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, back to Netflix original series. I honestly think Netflix has – I think Netflix gets a bad rap because it is one of the older players. But if you look at like their –
They're not very good at marketing, I've noticed.
They're not. That's one of the biggest issues with Netflix. Because a lot of their original movies are actually really, really good. If we look at Bright and Six Underground and The Old Guard, which we've all reviewed on this show, they've all been really, really good movies. And it's the marketing that's killing them right now. Because
they rely on like actor individual marketing. Like if it's like Six Underground, Netflix didn't market shit for that movie. It was all Ryan Reynolds and the other actors that were in it that marketed that movie. that were posting about it. We were like, hey, go check out my movie on Netflix, blah, 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 blah. But Netflix just doesn't, unless it's one of their originals, they don't market it well. And the only one that they market well, in my opinion, is Stranger Things. They market Stranger Things very well.
Yeah. It because it's one of those shows that just took off and blew up.
That honestly saved Netflix, in my opinion. I think if Stranger Things was never made, Netflix would be in the dumper right now. Or starting to be in the dumper.
Yeah, I think Netflix would be hurting right now. I think streaming services like HBO Max and Disney Plus are kind of starting to put a damper on Netflix. And this is just my personal opinion because this is what I go off of, what I normally use. Amazon Prime, I think, is actually struggling a little bit too.
They don't have, like, they have free content on there, but not everything is free.
Right.
Opposed to Disney Plus and HBO, you just got to pay one-time subscription.
Yeah.
Maybe a premium if you want. If you want one, like, movie, you can pay a separate one-time fee for that. But you pay one time for these two streaming services, and you get either all of the Star Wars and Disney and Marvel that you want, or you get all of the DC, Turner Classics, Cartoon Network that you want. It's literally all there.
Yeah.
And those are the two biggest giants is Cartoon Network, Warner Bros. And Disney. And there's just no other – there's not really a third giant, in my opinion, that can really wrap those up.
Nickelodeon, I guess.
Nickelodeon's
owned by Paramount.
Yeah.
But I would actually have to tend to agree with you because the biggest shows that TV shows and movies that I watch are either on HBO Max or Disney Plus. I mean, I've gone on like Peacock, which is another one, which is NBC's streaming service, and watch some of the old shows that I used to watch as a kid. Warehouse 13, the older MacGyver. No, I think that's on Paramount. But like Warehouse 13, the submarine one.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name.
Sequest DSG.
Yeah.
In those older shows that I used to watch, those are all on Peacock, which is, again, NBC's streaming service. And then Paramount Plus, for me, has all of my Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, it's got all the Star Trek. It's got Transformers, I believe. G.I. Joe. It's got a lot. iCarly, Disney stuff. Or not Disney. Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
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 I would say Paramount. I think the Halo series is really gonna, bump Paramount's status, I guess. But I see those three, Paramount, HBO, and Disney Plus, being the top
three
dogs.
Biggest.
Yeah.
The only reason I like Hulu so much, and I mean, so we can't really count Hulu as a separate streaming service because Disney owns Hulu.
Yeah, they own Hulu now. I'm surprised they haven't, like, integrated that into something else or rebranded that because Hulu kind of got a bad rep there for a while because it did suck.
So Hulu, when it first came out, it was nothing but, like, older Japanese animation. And it wasn't even the good anime. It was, like, crap anime.
It was hard to navigate, too. Like, the popular shows that they did have on there, it wasn't worth it to watch because – it was hard to navigate. Like, their whole platform thing was just hard. When Netflix's was so much better.
So those were the two big giants when they first came out, was Netflix and Hulu. And I had both accounts for a long time. Not for a long time. For a while. For about a year or so. And because Hulu was advertising that they were going to run new episodes like the day after they came out. from, you know, like these TV shows and stuff like that. And it was really difficult to navigate. It was just kind of a pain in the butt to really watch the shows, and they really didn't match the claim that they had. So I got rid of Hulu for a long time, like years, until Hulu came back with, you know, or now we have live local television. And then that's when I decided.
Fox bought it out. Ain't it?
I think so. Yeah.
All of Fox's stuff was on Hulu before Disney bought it.
And then they completely changed the format, made it a lot more user-friendly, and that's when I actually got rid of I got rid of cable a little bit before that because it was just getting too expensive. And, you know, and then I got Hulu Live, so now I can watch live TV. And, you know, now I've got the other streaming services. And it's just so much better. I mean, I pay roughly the same amount as I was paying for cable, but I've got so much more content available.
You actually watch the stuff that's on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's more variety, and that you don't have to wait for a show to come on, and you know, you can't go back and rewatch it. So I think it's definitely 10 times more worth it to just get streaming platforms as opposed to cable.
I agree. And even if, like, you have cable and you have a DVR, even DVRs are a pain in the butt to navigate. It's just easier to – for me now, it's just easier to go in and, you know, wait a year, stream a television show, or, you know, watch a movie and, you know, decide if I like it from there. You know,
I want my folks up here to move on from the cable because we have a smart TV and download all the streaming service apps we want on there.
Yeah.
We still have a cable box because my mother is old-fashioned like that, and she has her shows that she watches because my grandmother is the same way. They have their certain shows that they like and they talk about and whatnot. But
if they just got...
I know.
Look.
I've explained
like
this 700 times.
If they can get Hulu Live, they can get Hulu Live, and they can still watch their shows on top of the other streaming services, they would actually be saving money because you don't pay.
Not
for...
to mention, we go through AT&T, and our internet and cable box stuff is all in one bundle thing. Internet's not the greatest, to be honest. It's not the greatest. Cable box, I don't use it. My stepsister doesn't use it. Nobody uses it in the house. We have a smart TV.
The thing is, and this is one thing that you can use to explain to her, is that you have access to HBO and Disney. So she doesn't have to pay for those. She could just use your account on the smart TV. Hulu Live is at least $50 less than cable.
Yeah, and the thing is, the way that my stepdad's job is set up, he travels. He can't use the cable box. So all he does, if he watches TV or something, is he gets on Netflix.
Well, see, there you go. You've already
got
a Netflix account.
There's so many other, like, streaming, like, you got to broaden your horizon. He's like, yeah, I've been thinking about it. I was like, don't think about it. Just freaking do it.
I can kind of understand where your mom and your stepdad are coming from. I can't, because it was hard for me to get rid of it, because that's just what I've grown up. You know, I grew up with antenna TV, and then cable was the thing, you know, and if you had cable in your house, you were cool. And now, it took me a long time to just say, fuck cable, fuck satellite, I don't want any of it, because I like live TV every once in a while. You know, I do like to get on. I like to watch news, and you know, I watch TV before I go to bed and stuff like that. So
yeah,
Hulu Live is
there's like football games and other things you can watch with live TV, but that's all on Hulu Live.
Yeah, yeah, or on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime streams live football. So if you've got Amazon, if you've got Netflix, and if you've got Hulu, upgrade to Hulu Live. Get rid of cable. You're saving money.
Yeah, like annually, you're saving, like, I don't know the exact math, but you're saving money.
You're saving at least $100 to $200, if not more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got a few streaming services.
I think I could really get my grandparents into streaming or binging shows, because they don't do nothing up here. They don't do nothing. They watch golf. Or my papa watches golf, or he's out in the building. My grandmother watches her shows and whatnot. I could really probably get them into binging shows.
Look, if they get a smart TV, so the one that I have is a Vizio, and they have free live TV, free television shows and stations that you can watch. Just for owning the TV.
Part is, my grandmother hates talking to the DirecTV people. Hates it. Hates talking to them. I'm like, well, you could just get this and you can cancel it anytime you want. No, I'm good. I'm going to keep paying the ass for the DirecTV people who piss me off. I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't care.
The thing is, even if they got a TV and just use the free apps that are on there, they're saving. And
what's that one TV thing? Roku?
Yeah, yeah. Well, spend the $500-$700 to get a smart TV. And when I say $500-$700, I'm talking, you know, top of the line 70-inch 4K Ultra HD TVs. I'm talking top of the line TV.
We got ours on sale, I think. It was around Christmas time when we got it. And we got one that you're talking about. It's big 4K Ultra smart TV. You can freaking do your homework on it. It'll cook for you. It's, you know, smart TV.
Yeah.
And it was like $400 when we got it on sale.
Well, you've seen my TV, right?
Yeah.
You know my TV. My new TV. I got that for $500.
$600. Yeah, they're not that expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, mine, TV-wise, yeah, but I mean, half the people, when you need a new TV, get it. I mean,
yeah, it's not like you're buying a new TV every year. My old TV lasted me 6-7 years before I bought a new
one. I think we've had our old one since, oh, man. It was the one we got after the one that smashed the windshield in the back of the truck. It was the one after that. And we had it forever, and it was starting to fade, and it was small. My mom hated it. It was starting to creak and get old. It's like, why don't you just upgrade? And so they upgraded to the tip-top max of what they got, and they love it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and you can get them for, you know, $500-$700, like I said. And then all you got to do is hook it up to the internet. And even if you don't want any of the streaming services, every smart TV company has their own free TV channels. Like for mine, like I said, I've got Vizio. I can go and watch Star Trek The Next Generation all day for free.
Yeah, so Black Friday sales. Smart TVs, depending on the size, you can get one for 32 inches and spend $150, or you can get an 86-inch one and spend $1,500. But that's your price range that you're looking for.
I would spend the $1,500 to get the 80-inch, but then I'd get yelled at because I wouldn't have anywhere to put it.
And
I'd have to build my own.
Samsung 86-inch class crystal UHD 4K smart TV in black 2021 edition. And price is almost cut in half.
Yeah. So there's no reason. Look, people, there's no reason to have cable anymore. Okay.
Yeah, it's
you're literally
at this point.
You're getting gouged by these cable companies. And they know it. And they know that you're going to get rid of them eventually. Eventually, cable TV and broadcast television is going to go away. I mean,
this is a really good deal. I'm not going to lie. Get it by December 1st. 4K. Vivid color detail.
Don't
it's like almost 50% off.
I'll put the 70-inch in my bedroom and put the 86-inch downstairs.
Oh, you earn 1% back in rewards on Samsung.com.
Ooh. Anyway, so as we were talking about, speaking of streaming services, because we kind of got off track.
Smart TVs.
Yeah. Yeah. Disney Plus Day last week, they dropped. That's
damn it. Okay. I just put this shirt on like an hour ago.
At least it's water, not something else.
Yeah. Bulldog slobber.
That's all right. So Disney Plus dropped a ton of content that is already out and that is coming to, you know, Disney Plus next year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that content has to do with Disney programs. They dropped some, couple things about Pixar. Hocus Pocus 2 is coming out. They're doing a live-action Pinocchio. Spiderwick Chronicles, which might actually be interesting. A new Baymax series. And stuff like that. And then they dropped some Lucasfilm stuff. But they only dropped three things. Which, well, it kind of upsets me. And this is, you know, we'll get into this.
They only announced three things, or
They only announced three things. And they only released one.
For Lucas?
Lucasfilm, yeah.
Okay.
So the three things that they announced were Willow, which is an upcoming series. Starring Warwick Davis. He's going to be returning as Willow Offgood with other actors, Ruby Cruz, Aaron Killiman, Ellie Bamber, Tony Revolori, Amar Chadha Patel, and Dempsey Burke, or Brick. What it is it's a series set 30 years after the movie. Like it's right in the timeline. And it's just going to follow his adventures after that. Mm-hmm. And then they dropped I think it was like a minute and 22 second long. Not even that. But a little teaser about Obi-Wan. Where Ewan McGregor says that he's excited and blah, blah, blah. And then they released Under the Helmet, The Legacy of Boba Fett, which is a 22-minute long kind of documentary on the actor that played Boba Fett and how Boba Fett came to be such an iconic character. Because he was the original design for Boba Fett was supposed to be like an elite stormtrooper, and they were going to have like, you know, 100 of them, but the creation of the costume and making the costume was too expensive, so they made him into a bounty hunter.
I love his original design, like the white suit. You just think about it. If they would have went with that original design, we would have had 100 Boba Fetts walking around in white suits carrying Uzis.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been pretty awesome.
So the design of Boba Fett, and this is actually a very interesting watch if you're a Star Wars fan, and especially if you're a Boba Fett fan, because when Mandalorian Season 2 came out, we actually got to see Boba Fett in his armor again. We got to see some different things that we weren't able to see in the original trilogy, such as his knee rockets. And I was like, are you kidding me? They added knee rockets? But that was a thing the entire time. Like, that was part of his original design. I mean, they didn't have the budget for it at the time. But it's just interesting to see how a character that is on screen for less than 20 minutes total in two movies and has six lines and dies at the beginning of one of the movies, well, is dispatched at the beginning of one of the movies, is such an iconic character. Like, he's been in video games. He's had books written about him. We learned his origin in the prequel trilogy. And it's just so interesting to see how he came to be. So, and I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I haven't got the chance to watch it yet.
Okay. I would recommend it, honestly, because it does go back to, like, the prequels where you had the actor that played young Boba Fett and Tamura Morrison. I could never pronounce his first name correct.
You got it.
Okay. One of the things that they did to kind of quote-unquote bond is that Morrison came up to young Boba and said, you're going to be playing my son in, you know, the movie. You call me dad, I'll call you son, and we'll get this. And young Boba Fett was like, okay, dad. And then Morrison was like, all right, son. And from then on, that's how they did it throughout the taping. And it's just kind of cool to see. You know, it's kind of cool to see how the character was brought to life, why he became so iconic, and just the unique designs and thought process behind him becoming who he was.
Yeah.
So, and then we get to the big announcements that we are excited about for this show. So Marvel had a whole 20-minute drop of the MCU past, present, and future. And it talks about where they started, where they are now, and where they're going. And it's actually kind of interesting. If you haven't seen it, take 20 minutes while you're eating dinner and watch it, because it is very interesting. You know, instead of watching The Big Bang Theory while you're eating, watch this while you're eating. So the biggest one that I'm excited about, and I know Alex is excited about, the first big announcement that they dropped again is a new trailer for the Hawkeye TV series that starts. The first two episodes drop next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
excited.
Yeah.
It should be good.
Yeah. There are a ton of Easter eggs in both of the trailers. I don't know. Have you seen the second trailer yet, Alex?
Was there anything new that they added? Because I haven't.
It was
I think clips of it on Instagram and stuff.
Okay. So they kind of showed like a car chase between Clint and Kate. or with Clinton Kate at the, and the bad guys, the jumpsuit mafia or the tracksuit mafia. And there are a ton of callbacks to the original comics. Like this is huge. This is going to be probably one of the best MCU miniseries or TV series that they do. I'm really glad they picked up Hawkeye because I loved Hawkeye in the movies. I thought he was way underrated in the movies. Should have gotten a lot more time simply because he is a badass. And
he's a silly badass, but a badass nonetheless.
He is. He is. I love his line in Age of Ultron. It sums up Hawkeye perfectly. You know, we're talking about the floating city being attacked by an army of robots, and he's a guy with a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. You know, and that sums up.
He kind of carried that movie, to be honest. He was a very pivotal character in that movie. I'm glad they picked Jeremy Renner for it, too. He's just a good actor. I like him. And I'm glad they chose him for that role. He plays it well.
Jeremy Renner is one of those that, because I've seen him in other roles. Jeremy Renner is one of those actors that can play a serious role and a comedic role all at the same time. I mean, he can have a comedic line and deliver it in a serious tone, and it kind of cuts the anxiety and the edge of the movie that he's in. I'm really looking forward to next week. I am actually off that day. So if I don't watch it at midnight when it drops, I will definitely be watching it the next morning.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. The next one that they, and I've got the list right here. Or a list. One of the other ones that they dropped was another Disney Plus series, Moon Knight.
This is the one that I am most excited for. Out of any Disney Plus series, like even the ones that I've already released, Moon Knight is the top one on my list. He's basically Marvel Batman with some superpowers-ish. He doesn't have, like, superpowers, but he's got some mystical things about him. And I'm really, really excited to see Oscar Isaac in this role. Because I don't know if you watched Dune.
I did.
But he did extremely well in that movie.
He did. Yes, I agree. 100%.
Say what you want about the sequels, but he was one of the highlights of those. I liked Poe Dameron and Oscar Isaac. I just like him as a actor, and I think he can definitely take this role and make it his own and kind of introduce a more darker character than what we're used to.
I agree. This is one that I'm excited for. I don't know much about Moon Knight, the character, but I'm really looking forward to seeing more of it.
Yeah, so basically he's got a bipolar disorder, and he comes into contact with an old Egyptian artifact, and he then embodies the superhero moniker of Moon Knight.
Okay.
Basically Batman, but Egyptian style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah. So the next one is She-Hulk.
I think She-Hulk is going to confuse a lot of people, maybe. Just by the trailer, it's already confused some people, because Hulk is in the trailer, and his arm is healed, and he's Professor Hulk.
Yeah.
So last time we see Hulk, he's Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
And he's got his arm sling, and apparently there's a brace on his arm, his left arm, People are theorizing that that lets him switch in between Hulk and Bruce Banner. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
So one of the theories is that She-Hulk takes place like after the first blip.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that may be true. I mean, it would be nice.
Like
be
the 5 years
cool.
in between?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, but I would rather than not go back in the timeline. I'm not a big fan when they do that. They've done it before with, like, Captain Marvel, Captain America. Those were setup things. But
right.
I would
well,
like
I mean,
them to kind of move
Black
forward.
Widow too.
Yeah, Black Widow's movie didn't progress the MCU any further, though. It was just kind of one of her solo things, and she did what she did. But, I don't know, She-Hulk, it would be interesting. It'd kind of be like a Captain America, Captain Marvel type of thing, where it takes place in between these 5 years. But all these other things have take place after Endgame. I think they need to move on from Endgame. Like, quit going back.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's just one of the theories. And it's I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, this TV show is going to be interesting. I mean, they're introducing a new character. She-Hulk wasn't a huge part of like the Marvel comic series. She's one of the lesser known heroes, but I like that they are pulling out some of these lesser known heroes and giving them their own Disney Plus series versus, you know, making movies about them just so they can kind of introduce them
just
in a way that's – what's that?
It's a soft introduction. It's not like in-your-face type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of like that. And they're doing that with a couple of them. Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, Echo, and Ironheart are the three that they're really doing are the three that they're introducing in, you know, like a soft introduction as a TV series. And then they've got Agatha, House of Harkness, which is going to feature Agatha from WandaVision. So
I gotta be honest, I'm not really excited for much of those. She-Hulk a little bit, Moon Knight I'm extremely excited about, I'm not gonna lie. But the other ones, not too crazy about.
Ms. Marvel, I'll watch simply because it's gonna be something different. It's about a 16-year-old Pakistani American from Jersey City. Who gets superhero powers. You know, she's a big fan. She idolizes Captain Marvel. So it'll be interesting to see. Echo is somebody that they're introducing in Hawkeye.
It's going to be kind of weird for somebody. I'm not saying they can't idolize Captain Marvel, but it'd be kind of weird if they did, because she hasn't made an appearance on Earth, like a major appearance on Earth, since Endgame. And Endgame took place out of the sight of public, and she was only there for like 2 minutes. And then the other time that she was on Earth was
in the
when
80s.
She fought. Yeah, it was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And even then, she picked up and left. And hasn't been there, so people don't really know about Captain Marvel unless, like, the Avengers people are like, yeah, this is our new Avengers people. But it kind of seems like they're keeping things on the down low with the Avengers right now, publicly, in the movies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't...
Well,
that's kind of weird.
So one of the theories that's out there is that so, in the trailer, we see Captain Marvel with her with her mask, the hood and her mask, like she was at the end of her standalone movie.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the theories is that she, you know, has visited Earth a couple times, and that's where they get the I just lost my train of thought. And that's where, you know, they start to idolize her and stuff like that. That she just wasn't gone from, you know, the end of Captain Marvel all the way to, you know, the beginning of Endgame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then there's Echo, who is going to be introduced in Hawkeye. And then we have Ironheart, which is, and you, I think you and I were talking about this.
Yeah, last Sunday when we reviewed
Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a story about a genius from MIT who invents a suit of armor like Iron Man, basically takes his designs and makes it her own and becomes essentially the new Iron Man. And again, and these are theories that are going across Reddit and YouTube and stuff like that. So the introduction of Kate Bishop and Hawkeye, Ms. Marvel and Ironheart, a lot of people are thinking one of the rumors is that they are setting up for like a Young Avengers movie or like a Young Avengers spinoff.
Yeah, or what makes more sense is like a new Avengers. But yeah, they might be doing a Young Avengers. Makes sense.
So, and then, you know, we talked about Agatha House of Harkness. It's just Katherine Hahn returning as Agatha from WandaVision. Don't know a whole lot. There wasn't a trailer that dropped. It was just, you know, Agatha House of Harkness that came across the screen. So it should be interesting. And then we've got Secret Invasion. Samuel L. Jackson is returning as Nick Fury. And there's a couple prevailing theories as to what this is about. One of the theories is that the Skrulls actually kidnapped Nick Fury. And so we got to see Nick Fury on a spaceship taking a pseudo vacation at the end of Far From Home.
Yeah, so from the period of Winter Soldier, when he like got shot and killed, basically.
Yeah.
Or they thought they killed him. From that, after that happened, I think the Skrull version of Nick Fury has been from Winter Soldier to Far From Home. I think Nick Fury's going to make a return to Earth at some point now.
Yeah. Well, one of the theories, because of the way he looks at the end with the big scruffy beard and no eye patch, is that he may have been in a Skrull prison and that, you know, he was kidnapped by a renegade band of Skrulls. So.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Moving on.
Yeah.
I'll watch it just because it's a holiday special. Look, it can't be any worse than the
specials don't have a good reputation.
It can't be any worse than the original Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, it can't be. But
anyway. So one of the ones that I'm really, really excited about, simply because this is my childhood, is X-Men 97. It's the continuation of the original X-Men series that started in 92, I think. It went to 97. And it was such... So that was such an iconic cartoon for kids of my generation and the generation, like, right after me. Everybody knows the we all know the theme to that. It has the best intro of any animated TV show out there. And I'm saying this as somebody that grew up watching G.I. Joe, Thundercats, Robotech, Silverhawks, Transformers, like the best Saturday morning cartoons ever. It has the best intro and intro music to any animated TV show. And so they're picking up right where they left off in 97. They're continuing the series, and they're doing it in the same style, which is what I'm excited about. The animation was crap sometimes. Well, for today's standards.
You know where they got that from, though, right?
What's that?
The bringing old cartoons and bringing them back and making them new again. DC has been doing this for like 20 years now.
Right, but they haven't had the success that Marvel will.
I don't know.
Look, the best DC animated series is Batman the Animated Series.
And Batman the New Adventures, Justice League Unlimited, the 400,000 other movies they made based off of that universe. Batman Beyond. I don't know.
I'm talking about series.
It's all one cohesive series, though. It doesn't break up. It's all one from the Batman Adventures or the Batman Animated Series all the way to Batman and Harley Quinn, the movie that came out in 2016, I think. It's all one thing. They do, though, so the Justice League and Superman stuff is off, branches off, but that series has gone on for 20 years now.
Okay. But this is one of the most iconic. Okay. X-Men is what introduced a whole generation to the MCU. And I get it. Batman the Animated Series was fucking fantastic. I loved it. I still love it to this day. It is one of my favorite animated series. But I'm really excited for them to come back and continue the story because – and I'm rewatching the series over again. I believe that they left on a cliffhanger.
Probably. I haven't watched it.
Yeah. So – and then we've got What If Season 2 coming out. And we've got Spider-Man Freshman Year, which, you know, kind of it talks about Peter Parker's road to becoming Spider-Man within the MCU.
Is that going to have Tom Holland?
I don't know. I don't know. There wasn't a whole lot that came out about it, and I didn't do a whole lot of research. But it might be interesting. I might watch a couple episodes. I'll at least start it and see where it's going. Just to see, you know, how interesting it is. And then we've got I Am Groot, which is a bunch of animated shorts that explore Baby Groot's years before becoming one of the Guardians. And then we've got Marvel Zombies, which should be really interesting. It's basically, you know, talking about a new generation of heroes battling against, you know, a zombie apocalypse, essentially. So, it'd be interesting to see Falcon fighting a zombie Captain America.
Yeah.
So, but that's all the Marvel stuff that has dropped, you know, and all the announcements and stuff like that, and all the Lucasfilm, all the ones that we really care about here on the Cinephiles. For Disney Plus, there is one that there's one more that came out that's a personal one for me. And I actually shared it to the Behind the Screen page. There is a new Predator movie coming out, and it will be coming out on Disney Plus, on Hulu, and then on one of their other streaming platforms. It comes out summer of 2022. It is called Prey. And it is set 300 years ago. And it follows a, it's set in North America. So they're fighting Native Americans. And it follows Naru as she fights to protect her tribe against the Predator. So, which is kind of awesome because I've been on a Predator kick here lately, watching some of the older Predator movies, or newer slash older Predator movies. So I'm actually really excited about this because I know Alex knows, and you know people in the house know, I am kind of a fan of, you know, the Aliens and Predator franchise. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to a new Predator movie. I really want, I want more of the Yamcha. I want more of that species.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would have done one on their home world, like expanded that a little bit more. But this should be good.
Yeah. Although we did get to see their home world in Alien vs. Predator Requiem. So that was kind
of...
Yeah,
that was like a quick snippet though, wasn't it?
It was. It was just showing, hey, here's their home world. But it kind of expanded the universe a little more, which is what I liked. The movie itself was crap, obviously. It didn't live up to the first one. Because the first one was really good. The second one was just kind of... It's just kind of bland.
The first one had.
It didn't. But we did get to see, you know, a different type of predator. And then when we got Predators, which is the one where all the people are dropped on the game preserve and they're, you know, the hunters get them, or the predators get to hunt them, which had Topher Grace, Adrian Brody, and oh God, why can't I remember his name?
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo in it. Which in my mind was actually a really good movie. I liked it. It also had Lawrence Fishburne in it. He was only in there for like 5 minutes, but we got to see Lawrence Fishburne killed by a predator. So, and then, of course, The Predator, which came out in 2018, which was a really good movie. So, but yeah, that's everything that was talked about or that we really, you know, are excited about for Disney Plus Day. So we are going to take a break because we haven't taken one yet. When we come back, there was a question that I posed to Alex before the show. So we're going to discuss that question. So we'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Okay, well, welcome back. Don't know what happened with the song. But we're back. Okay, so the question that I posed, and I'm actually going to bring it up on my messages real quick, is... While Star Wars is an international phenomenon and has a very, very large fan base, is it being replaced with other fandoms such as Marvel and like DC? Is the Star Wars fandom going – the interest in Star Wars, is it – declining?
I would say it's a tough question, because while I love Star Wars, I really want to say no. But if I'm being honest, it's a big maybe. For in Disney's interest, it would not be smart for them to outshine one mega corporation over another. With them owning Marvel and DC. But I do think, like, if they don't release another trilogy of movies, or if they don't release more movies, then yes, it might start losing interest. But I don't think the fan base is going to go away, because there's still shows and stuff that we love and that we're going to watch, like the Ahsoka series, Mando, Boba Fett. There's still series we want to watch. I mean, Bad Batch Season 2 is coming. But they can't get boring with things. Oh, the Obi-Wan show, forgot to mention that. They just can't get boring with things. I think if they're not careful with Bad Batch, it might turn into another Rebels. Like, they'll have... It'll be a good series, but I don't foresee it lasting as long as Clone Wars did. I don't think we'll ever have another Clone Wars. I don't think we'll have another original trilogy. I don't think we'll have another Mandalorian show, like, level show. The Ahsoka series might, you know, strike that nerve. But either Star Wars needs to take a hiatus and a break, like it did between the 80s to early 2000s, or they can just pump out as much content as they possibly can, pump out as much toys as they possibly can, and hope for the best. Their best option, in my opinion, would to be lay low and only do the Mandalorian and the Ahsoka show. Only do those. Only focus on those. Maybe Bad Batch as well. But only focus on one to two things at a time, or two to three things at a time, and release a movie here and there. But if they oversaturate it, definitely they'll start losing interest. But if they don't release enough, then it'll die out, and then you got to build that hype back up again for a new generation. But I don't know. It's definitely tough. I think once they get away from the Luke Skywalkers, Darth Vaders, Anakins, Obi-Wans, once they get rid of those characters or get away from those characters, they'll start seeing issues. I don't know, we want to see more than just those characters, but if they make a show like the New Republic show that was going to have Gianna Carano, or whatever her name was, I forgot. That show, I wasn't going to watch it, because it's about two pilots and a girl going and doing, I'm sure it'll be written good. I'm not interested in watching two pilots go across the galaxy and do this, that, and the other. Like, I'm just not interested in that. I'm interested in the characters that are already established in the thing. Oh, we have too much Luke Skywalker. Oh, we have too much this. We're done with the Skywalkers. Cool. You know, a really big thing that the Star Wars fans have been, like, begging for? Old Republic stuff? They could just do that. And I think that's the movie, Taki Waititi. Mm-hmm. I think he's making an Old Republic movie. I don't think it's going to be Old Republic. Ryan Johnson's making another Star Wars movie. Which I don't blame Last Jedi on him. I know he's a good director. I have faith in him. If they let him do what he wants, though, is the problem. But if people are tired of the original focus of Star Wars, the Skywalkers, then go to their second most beloved thing, Old Republic. People love Old Republic. You can make so much money and so many stories off of the Old Republic stuff, but I just don't foresee Disney doing that. I think they're going to try to ride the coattails of High Republic stuff, which nobody cares about. Like, I don't think a single person has ever raved about those books. They might be good books, but I don't think they're top tier of Star Wars content. Yeah, I don't know. They just got to be careful with it. They just really have to watch DC and, honestly, Harry Potter. Because Harry Potter, they're starting their movies back up again. So they just got to watch out for Warner Bros. Stuff. But I don't think they'll get outshined or outdone by anything. I think they'll still, you know, have a grasp onto things for a while. They might see a slight drop in viewership. Not a whole lot. It's like the only reason why people have Disney Plus is to watch Star Wars stuff.
Okay.
And Marvels. But
so this is what I'm seeing as somebody from an older generation. This is just my personal view and opinion of what I've seen. So the biggest issue that Lucasfilm, in regards to the Star Wars franchise, the biggest issue that they have right now is the sequel trilogy. They, number one, tried to make it too much like the original trilogy. And people can say that about the prequels, but the prequels were different enough.
They were original, and they had enough oomph to them to make them their own thing. Like, yeah, there's similarities, but those similarities were already told to us 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
The problem is that they didn't expand on the universe in the way that they could have. There was so much more content after the Battle of Endor that they could have focused on, and I think that's what I just lost his name. Oh my God. The guy that played Happy. Jon Favreau. Whew. The guy, you know, that's what Jon Favreau and Kevin Feige are trying to do with Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, and to a lesser degree, like Ahsoka and High Republic. The problem is that they didn't expand on the universe. They told the exact same story as the original trilogy in a different kind of way.
It was like a poor game of telephone. Like, somebody said one thing. Like, somebody explained Star Wars to somebody, and then that same person wasn't paying attention, and then they tried to go tell the same story to another person, and it just didn't work out at all, as opposed to prequels. They were made, we had characters that were already established that we knew, and we haven't got to see this side of them yet, their younger side, I guess. And then we got to see this lively world of Star Wars, and then when they tried to do it with sequels, they had characters that were established, and now we're seeing the old version of them. I hate to be a stick in the mud, but who wants to see a bunch of old people fighting a war that's not their fight, you know?
Yeah.
And who wants to see a rehash of those characters? It was just boring on both fronts. It wasn't original. It wasn't thoughtful. It was lacking of any kind of substance at all.
The biggest thing that if Lucasfilm and the Star Wars franchise wants to stay relevant, what they honestly need to do is take a page of the MCU and take a page out of the DCU, especially the MCU, because if we look at it right now, the MCU has their entire world, their entire franchise on lock. They have TV shows that are introducing new characters. They have new movies that are coming out that, you know, have some of the older characters, but they're moving on. You know, they have callbacks, but they're moving on from the original content that made them who they are.
Yeah, and that was Star Wars' problem, is they had the content right in front of them, and they're like, fuck it. Nah, we're not using that. Because like, our characters... There are, like, predecessors, quote-unquote, after Luke and Leia. They're children. And
yeah.
That's basically what they tried, but it just failed so bad. There were so many good stories.
Why didn't we not get introduced to Mara Jade? She's a huge, huge portion of the expanded universe, which is now called Legends. But... there was so much content that they could have done after the Battle of Endor that they just kind of threw out the door. One of the things that I want to see, like what you were talking about, is I want to see stuff about the Old Republic. I want to see the formation of the Jedi, the formation of the Jedi Order. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in movie form. They have fantastic animators, they have fantastic writers, fantastic directors, fantastic producers, all of these people that are working on these MCU movies, these Disney Plus movies, are all the same people that are working on Star Wars original content. Jon Favreau works both Star Wars and MCU. Takiti Wadi?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Those Australian names are so weird.
He was a producer on Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many recognizable names in... you know, both Lucasfilm and the MCU, that they can go back. You literally have Dave Filoni on your payroll.
Yeah. So the big problem was Kathleen Kennedy kind of did what she wanted, and it failed big time. Because it was somebody George Lucas trusted. Like, he hired her for that role, position, I should say. And then she took that trust and just ran it into the mud. And then I think George Lucas saw that and was like, kind of put in a really good word for Dave Filoni. And now that Kathleen Kennedy's contract has ran out or is running out, I think she's got the rest of this year, maybe a little bit of next year. But Dave Filoni's already taken her job, I believe,
mm-hmm.
As executive whatever for Lucasfilm, which is the best possible thing that they could have done. Honestly, I didn't want to see Jon Favreau in that position because he worked on Mandalorian, but he doesn't – it's going to sound like I'm a major douchebag, but he doesn't deserve it like Dave Filoni does. Dave Filoni built from the ground up the Clone Wars, Rebels, Mandalorian. He's worked on other things outside of Star Wars. Dave Filoni has more than earned that position at Lucasfilm. Jon Favreau, I'm not saying that he doesn't earn it, but he has his role in Marvel. He's got his hand in so many baskets. I think he would have been overwhelmed with that position. But Dave Filoni lives, breathes, and dies for Star Wars, and putting him at the head position for Star Wars is probably the best decision that they could make moving forward. And no ill will towards Kathleen Kennedy. She did whatever, but I kind of had bad taste in my mouth when I think of her.
Yeah. And see, I completely agree with you. I love Dave Filoni and his dedication to George Lucas's vision of what the Star Wars universe is.
Not to mention, Dave Filoni has reached out to George, I think put him on payroll too, for Mandalorian.
Yeah, him and John both. Him and John both. Yeah.
I just think that's the most baller move ever. Sell your company for $4.5 billion. They totally screw it up. They have to hire you back to fix it. It's just...
Yeah.
It's one of the best decisions ever made, honestly.
I want to see an Old Republic animated series, Clone Wars. Like, I think they could do a lot with that because
they got to be careful though to not make it, because there's not a whole lot of like time difference between the Old Republic to the Grand Republic prequel era. Like, there's not a whole lot of technological difference. There's not a huge difference between those two eras. So they got to be careful to not just like, oh, just make Revan Anakin and make Malik, Ahsoka. Like, you can't just transition those two characters. You got to do something new.
No.
I definitely don't think they should do it in the art style of Clone Wars. Why I love that art style, they need to maybe switch that up just a little bit.
Maybe the art style of the Rebels.
I was going to say that, but they kind of look doughy and just flat and not interesting.
So combine the two.
Yeah. Either make it similar, but don't make it the same style, I guess.
Or do it like the 3D animated version, like what Final Fantasy, Spirits Within, and
that's
Avatar
expensive.
Did. And
that's expensive animation, though.
Well, yeah, but
Disney
can afford it,
but they'd have to do short seasons for that, because that's expensive. That 3D stuff, that's expensive animation. The Final Fantasy and whatnot.
If they continue to use it, the technology will get better and it'll get cheaper. I think that there's so much content. There's so much lore in the Star Wars universe other than episodes 1 through 9. You know, you can do the formation of the Jedi. You can do where the Sith become, that transition from a species into a dark power.
I want to see Darth Bane. There's just so much lore out there that I would like to see, either in animated form, live action form, whatever. It's just the main characters that they need to be careful with is Revan, Nihilus, and Darth Bane.
Yeah,
they just need to be careful with Bastila Shan and Shatil Shan. They need to be careful with those guys too. Jesus. They need to be careful with those ladies, I should say. Because, honestly, I think that's what Rey should have been, is more of a Satele Shan-type character. Because if they wanted to do the whole powerful woman thing, Star Wars has many options to choose from. Pick one and go with it. Don't make a rehash of a male character, because that's just stupid.
I mean, if we look at the Knights of the Old Republic video game series, it was a phenomenal video game series, both 1 and 2. It's not really a series. It's just, parts 1 and 2. But they dealt...
kind of series. There's the Old Republic MMORPG game, which has fantastic cinematic trailers. You should watch those, because, honestly, those are some of the best pieces of Star Wars that I've seen.
Some of them.
If they go off of the Old Republic, like the Emperor Vitiate, because that's who corrupts Revan and Malik. They could go off of that, and then they could do the Eternal Twins. They were some of my favorite characters in Star Wars. And then go to Shatil Shan, who was in that era, and then Bastila Shan, who was also in kind of that era. They just need to pull the trigger on those things. If they literally just take those video games and make them, because those video games have over 80 hours of dialogue and writing. If they just take those and make it a movie or make it a show, preferably a show, it would be just, you couldn't beat it. That would probably be the best Star Wars ever.
And so the reason why I posed the question was the Disney Plus Day. You know, Pixar got more attention than Lucasfilm did.
Lucasfilm just had a big thing, though, where they announced a bunch of stuff. Back in May, I think, when they announced the Ahsoka show, the Book of Boba Fett.
Right, yeah.
They just had a big thing, so I can see why they didn't announce some things. And some of those things are still kind of fresh and in limbo. Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's still, you know, Lucasfilm is still a huge part of Disney Plus, and, you know, it's still a, or, you know, big part of Disney, and Star Wars is still a huge fandom and a huge franchise that, you know, people young and old still love. You know, you've got my generation that grew up with Star Wars, and, you know, we still love the essence of Star Wars. I still collect Star Wars Legos. I love watching Star Wars movies, the TV shows. And this has been a part of my, part of my life since I was born. You know, I literally went to go see Episode 6 in the theaters with my dad when it came out when I was 6 years old. You know, I have loved Star Wars since I can remember. You know, and then I introduced it to you and your brother. You know, and you're just as big a fan of Star Wars as I am. You know, so you've got my generation that loves it. You've got your generation that loves it. And, you know, I've got my younger two who I've really tried to get into watching Star Wars. And I figured my 12-year-old son would be really into it like you were. And he's just not a big fan.
The difference between – and there's not a huge age gap between me and him. Was there like 6 years,
7 years?
Something like that.
Yeah, seven or 8 years.
We'll go with seven. There's not that big of a gap. So he could have either been just on the very end of the prequels, enjoying the prequels, or he could have been one of those kids that unfortunately grew up with the sequels, and I don't think he picked an option, but sequels weren't amusing to him. The original trilogy is too old for him, and why would he sit down and watch the first three if he doesn't care about the other two, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a thing. I think it'll be my children, their generation, that really enjoys the next wave of Star Wars. Because honestly, the sequel, the gap between the prequels and the sequels from being made, too close together, way too close together. I understand they wanted to get some of the older actors, original actors in the movies for the sequels, whatever. At that point, like there's like what, a 20-year difference between prequels and original?
Yeah.
They should have waited
at least on the 20th anniversary.
They should have, like, the sequels should have, the earliest they should have been released was this year. They should have started that. And it should have been completely different. They should have started it this year and went forward. Because then by the time they would have ended, you know, my brother might have had children at the time who were old enough to, comprehend Star Wars. And it wouldn't have been too early or too late if I had children then for them to get into Star Wars, you know?
Right. And you still have like people in my generation and even the generation before me who grew up with Star Wars and loved Star Wars, you'd still be able to capture that audience.
Yeah, and there's also a big divide between my generation and my youngest sister. Because how I grew up, whenever I was her age, she's like, what, 11, 10?
10.
10. Yeah. I was 10 years old. I was watching Clone Wars. I was playing with toys. I was, you know, a child playing with toys. I was a toy kid, big toy kid. As
yeah.
well as all my other peers in my class, age group, whatever. But she's growing up now in the age of YouTube, TikTok. You know, she is glued to that tablet. She loves it. She's not a – she likes toys. But from what I've seen, she's not a big toy gal.
She's not.
Liam isn't either. He's not a big toy guy. They're electronic kids. You know, they like the video games. They like the, you know, tablets and stuff. And I think that's might what – you know, kill it. But if they introduce like Star Wars games, Liam, from what I remember, liked.
He loves the Lego Star Wars games.
Yeah,
he loves
the
Lego games.
What's that Star Wars game that just came out? Fallen Order.
Yes. Yeah, he loves
liked
that
game. So it's just how they market it, honestly. If they can market games, because kids don't give a shit about toys anymore, let's be honest. Toys are not a kid's thing anymore. It's a more of a collector thing for people. You're either too young to be able to control a electronic for and that's where you get your toys, or you're old enough to, like, remember toys and like them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's a big part of Star Wars marketing and getting kids into Star Wars is toys. That's how, honestly, that's how I got it. I mean, I like the movies. I like seeing the blue and the purples and the green lightsabers clash and whatnot. But then I could take that and make my own little world with it with toys. Kids can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
They just don't have that imagination, I guess.
And that's one of the big things when I was growing up was, you know, you had – In Star Wars in particular, you know, we grew up watching the movies and knowing the story and stuff like that. But that was before, you know, everything was released. That was before home video was a big thing, because the original Star Wars trilogy was not released on VHS until... I want to say mid-80s. It was after Return of the Jedi, because I have an original set of Star Wars VHS, like the original release. And it didn't get released because VHS wasn't around. You know, we didn't have access to home movies. So a lot of our... my exposure to Star Wars was through like the TV and the toys and stuff like that. You know, and they would play the trilogy on TV every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing. They'd play the trilogy on TV. So that was my exposure to Star Wars, and the toys was my first exposure before, you know, I really remember watching the movies and stuff. And it was huge because there were so many toys to play with, and, you know, you were cool if you had like the Millennium Falcon, or if you had Darth Vader, or if you had the Darth Vader head, collector's tin that you could place all the figures in, you know, or if you had like an X-Wing and stuff like that, that you could put your 6.5-inch figure in. And, you know, you're right that this generation that's coming up after your generation, doesn't do a whole lot of toys, you know, I'm noticing that this year for Christmas, because what do I buy my 10-year-old daughter for Christmas who doesn't play with Barbies. Yeah. You know, I mean,
you buy your 18-year-old son action figures, and then 10-year-old daughter gets what the 18-year-old would want to ask for, but it's flip-flop. I also collect them, but it's different.
Yeah, yeah. My 19-year-old son is getting the toys, whereas my 10-year-old daughter is getting the, you know, was asking for the merchandise, you know, the TikTok and YouTube merch and
yeah.
makeup and stuff like that. Like, it's, they're growing up too quick, which is a shame.
It's, yeah, they're growing up at a very early age. Cause I was 10 years old. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have, my brother had the Xbox. I had, if I wanted to play, I had to play split screen, so I couldn't play by myself like I can now. So I resorted to Legos and toys, and I was obsessed with them. And then I hit high school and realized, wow, nobody else has toys. I'm kind of a loser. And then halfway through high school, I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to keep doing toys because they're cool. I like them.
So, look, I will make this prediction to you. Come Christmas time, and you'll be down here. Come
yep.
Christmas time, I am 44 years old.
You're going to get more toys than 10-year-olds?
I'm going to get more toys than my 10-year-old. And, that,
yep.
and that's the biggest split in the generation.
And that's,
you know, and
completely
that,
okay.
And that's okay because I absolutely love Legos. And I love Star Wars Legos. And I love Harry Potter Legos. Not a big fan
of
like Marvel.
Call me materialistic all you want, but it's just, you know.
It's not materialistic.
Better.
It's
an obsession.
It's an obsession.
It's a problem.
It's a collection.
Some would say.
You know?
But.
I look at my Legos here in my bedroom and here in the studio and stuff, and you know, I see the shuttle Tyderian from Return of the Jedi, and I'm like, that's pretty badass. And
yeah.
I look at the carbon freezing chamber that has Han Solo and Boba Fett in it, and I'm like, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
look at my one-for-one replica lightsaber props. I'm like, wow, I'm pretty fucking cool. You know,
okay.
Some people – I'm in the attic, and I'm the only person up here, so nobody comes into my room. And I don't think my mother, my stepdad, or my brother have seen my room since I moved up here, like, 2 years ago. And my collection was vastly different. It's quadrupled, I would bet. Since they've last seen it. I don't think they realize how bad it is up here. But, you know,
well,
I don't care.
Half my collection is still in boxes out in the garage, which kind of upsets me because I've got some pretty cool pieces.
Yeah, that's – I'm going to say it right now. That's never happening to me. I don't care who I'm married to. You're going to have to deal with it because these are valuable. And I would never ask you to put your – whatever women like to collect. Some of them like to collect toys. Some of them like to collect fine china. My toys are being put on the same level as importance as your damn photos and picture frames, okay? Because we spent the most amount of money – we spent more money on them, and they hold just as much sentimental value to me. So
see,
you're going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry.
I've tried that argument, but she gets upset because I'll get the little set pieces, and then they just take over.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, I don't – it brings me joy to be able to look at the things that I've got. And every once in a while, you know, I'll take them down and, you know, repose them and look inside and see what I've got and, you know –
You're saying that as I'm messing with one of my figures right now.
You know, but it's cool because, you know, I've got a Lego X-Wing, I've got a Lego B-Wing, I've got a Lego A-Wing, and they're all functional, and they look cool. And if you can't take them down and, for lack of better terms, play with them, every once in a while, you know, then what's the point?
Exactly.
But I'm not getting rid of them.
Yeah, there's no way. For me, they're not getting put in a box. I'm not getting rid of them. They're going to sit on these shelves.
See, I had to put them in a box to move. And the first place I moved to, I couldn't display them. And now that I'm in a place to display them, and I know where I want to display them, I've been told no multiple times. Even though they'd be up and out of the way, I've been told no multiple times. So the next place that I live, I'm just going to have a room dedicated to myself, or I'll build a shed out on the property that is just all my Legos and all my collections and all my memorabilia and, you know, all my merchandise. So I've got quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many people can say they have an original release of the VHS of Star Wars, original release of the DVDs of the original Star Wars, and an original vinyl soundtrack for A New Hope with the poster insert. So that's all getting displayed. It's all getting put out.
Those are too valuable not to have shown off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Plus, they're badass.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who doesn't want to listen to the Imperial March on vinyl? I mean, it sounds so cool. So, but yeah, I think that if Disney does not get their head out of their ass, Star Wars may actually become a franchise that starts to diminish. And that breaks my heart because I love Star Wars. I really, really do. It's one of the fandoms that I have enjoyed all my life. Like there's at least once a year that I watch the movies. At least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I have seen them every year since I was a kid. It's a tradition for me to watch them at least once a year. Normally, it's around this time.
Yeah, you know? And normally, I'll start Star Wars around Thanksgiving, Christmas time, and then Harry Potter is definitely Christmas time for me.
Absolutely.
But if not, well, then I push Star Wars to after New Year's to get me through that January bush.
Well, Harry Potter is a guaranteed the week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We watch two movies a night, and you know we watch them the week before Christmas, and we take 4 days and we watch all of them. And usually, like on my days off, you and I will watch a couple of the Star Wars movies. It's usually the original series. The original trilogy. But yeah, if Disney and Lucasfilm don't wake up and realize what's going on, they're going to lose a major, major moneymaker for them. Because Star Wars could be the MCU. It could be the same. They could have two huge franchises that completely and totally dominate not only the big screen, but the small screen as well. You know, right now Disney's focus is on the MCU, and while that's not a bad thing because there are so many stories within the MCU, they need to put some of their focus, at least within the next 5 years, on developing the Star Wars franchise as much as the Marvel franchise.
Yeah. I'm glad Warner Bros. Doesn't have that problem. They can drop everything around them and only focus on DC. It'll be fine. Which they're kind of doing that right now. They kind of dropped everything. But that's okay.
I mean,
something that's needed.
yeah, they've still got their projects that they work on, you know, and they've got some really good movies that they've come out with and some really good movies that they're coming out with. But a lot of their focus is DC simply because of the MCU. And they had a rocky start, as we've discussed many multiple times on both BTS shows. But I think they've finally gotten on track, and they're doing well. They really are. I'm impressed with Warner Brothers. I'm impressed with the DCEU. I'm really impressed with the MCU and everything that they're dropping within the next year. And, of course, we're going to be discussing all of them. I just would like to see Star Wars pick it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's coming from my personal vantage point, because they could really, really bring in a whole new generation like they tried to do with the sequels and failed miserably. But if they, you know, if they start out small with fan service for those of us that love it, but you know, kind of an introduction for the new generation, especially with the Old Republic, and even before the Old Republic, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they could do all they want. Like, they don't have to pander, I guess, to younger audiences. Like, they kind of tried to with the sequels. I think that's why they majorly failed. If they do something that is written for older audiences, like me and you, but they marketed it well, it would be, because that's exactly what they did with prequels. It was written in the same style and, like, similar feeling to the original trilogy, but they marketed it well with toys towards kids and stuff. But if they do the same thing, I'm not saying, like, just make the original trilogy again. No, if they take the Old Republic, make it into a good series, written how we want it, and just marketed it like electronically, like, oh, we're making games, we're making YouTube channel explaining the lore, we're making this explaining this, you know. If they market it electronically instead of toy wise, which, you know, they'll make toys for it as well, but, you know,
well, the thing is, what they need to do is they need to look at the success that they had with the Clone Wars. Because the Clone Wars was, honestly, I would say the Clone Wars over the prequels was the bridge that gapped our generation. Because I could watch the Clone Wars, you know, knowing the lore of the original series and watching Anakin in the Clone Wars because of Obi-Wan's comment in the original series. You know, I fought in the Clone Wars with your father. He was a Jedi Knight. You know, I was a Jedi Knight, same as your father.
Yeah.
You know, and that comment, that little discussion that Luke and Obi-Wan had, and then the ending of episode 2, those two and everything, all the whole entire Clone Wars series is really what linked our two generations together and really brought that love of Star Wars together. Because you love the Clone Wars as a kid, because it was a cartoon, it was action-packed, and, you know, it gave you the sense of belonging to the Star Wars universe. And
yeah,
for me, it was that, you know, further exploring the lore and the background of Obi-Wan Kenobi and showing who he was in his prime and, you know, the more the lore of Anakin Skywalker that, you know, I didn't grow up with, you know. And I think that's, if they do something like that with the Old Republic and even before the Old Republic,
and tried to bridge that gap between your generation and the next generation, or even the generation after me, you know, generation between you and me, and then like your generation or your kids, the generation after you.
Yeah.
I think that would boost interest in Star Wars a lot more.
Definitely.
So, but we are down to our last 5 minutes of the show. It actually went by really, really quick tonight.
Yeah.
It was a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. We always have good discussions on this show.
Yeah.
I do want to say thank you, as always, to my host, Alex.
Yep.
Thank you for joining me tonight. Remember, we will not be having a show next week, but we will be having a show the week after. So, you know, keep that in mind. Next week, the Wiki Curiosity Studios will be on hiatus. They will be closed so that the hosts can spend time with their families. We will be discussing other the Christmas hiatus over the next couple of shows, over the next couple of weeks, so be prepared for that. We'll also be posting something on Wicked Curiosity Media and to all the show pages of the shutdowns, both of the hiatuses, so look forward to those. I do want to say support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Do not judge the 99% by the 1%. There are some really good ones out there. And as always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media, every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast, every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Note by Note. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for all of your support. We do appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. I hope everyone. So from all of us here on BTS, those that are in studio and out of studio, from everybody at Wiki Curiosity Media, I want to say a very, very, very happy Thanksgiving next week. I hope you all enjoy time with your loved ones, time with your family. And I hope you all have a wonderful meal. May your turkey be moist and delicious, or your ham, or whatever you cook. Have a great week. Have a great time. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yep. Goodbye for now.
All right. And we will leave you, hopefully, with a full song this time. If I can find the song. If I can find anything on this. Ah, there we go. All right. Y'all have a good night.
Dripping down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. It's not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will